Okay, if you're ready, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 as we continue in our study of 1 Peter. Getting a bit more interesting. All right? You'll be touching. Let's stand, yes. So 1 Peter chapter 2, you'll be reading from verse 13. To verse 17. Okay, verse 13 to verse 17. Find that the Bible is going to get closer to us. The way we live, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 to verse 17. I'll read verse 13, then you read verse 14, so on until we finish at 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 reads, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme," verse 14, "for so is the will of God, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Verse 16. Verse 17, let's read together. "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, through the Apostle Peter, you're going to be teaching us these words. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will apply, Lord, what we're going to hear to our lives as how we need to live in this world. And the principles by which Peter is addressing the believers, we know, Lord, is applicable today. So give us wisdom, Lord, to make the connection as only the Holy Spirit can help us. And I pray, Father, you help me, Lord, to put away what I think these passages mean and just let the Holy Spirit teach us. And we pray that our hearts will be surrendered and, Lord, manifested in clear obedience to your word. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. If we read this passage onwards to the rest of chapter 3, you will find that the Apostle Peter is going to touch on one common thread. And he's going to the whole area of submission. Okay, submission, we're talking about that. Submission in different areas of life, okay? So submission to the government, submission to things in our lives, submission as wife to husband, and also there will be the thing about marriage there, okay, in 1 Peter 3. But we're just looking at this area of submission, but there are two key things, okay, that we want to touch on today. All right, just very quickly, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, we'll go straight into it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, Peter was telling the Jewish Christians, submit yourself to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake. Now, this is an important principle at that time because, remember, the Jewish people were a conquered people. They were conquered people. Okay? And I know if you're a conquered people, just like Singaporeans under the Japanese, you don't really like those people who rule over you in that sense. But you must understand it's a slightly different context in the sense the Romans actually had dominion of the Jewish people, not just for 3.5 years, it's for over a long period of time, okay? At least, not wrong, at least 200 to 300 years. So there was this ongoing Roman conquest of the area, okay? And so it became life, this normal life. So there are still some freedom fighters among the Jews who wanted to fight against the Romans to get rid of the Romans and take back their land, just like when Jesus was around, they believed that Jesus was going to be the Messiah. So as Jesus came and left, the apostles went to preach the word. And remember last week we talked about the fact that as Christians, we are no longer citizens in this world. And yet, but we're still living in this world. And so Peter is teaching them how to live, all right? So there are actually two main points that I will break up into. I'll just give you the main points first. Firstly, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, the point that Peter drives across is, as believers, we are to submit to authority. Okay, that's the first one. And as believers, we are to honor all men. So these are the two key points that we will break up, all right? So these two points we're going to touch on today. The word submit, let's go from the meaning of the word submit first. The word submit is actually, interestingly, in the Greek, it has the idea of reflexive obedience. In other words, I was going to actually ask for a volunteer, okay? Can someone volunteer for me to make this illustration of the maid? Yeah, of course I don't want. Okay, I'll just get Asher, okay? Asher? Okay. I'll go to the kitchen and take a teaspoon. Quick! Okay, the father say, ask him to go wash toilet. Okay, thank you. Hey, not finished yet. Okay, put this teaspoon on your head. Okay, sit down. Sit down. Oh, okay, you can take it out. Yeah, take out your glasses. Okay, wear your glasses. Okay, stand up. Quickly keep the teaspoon. I'm going to give you a hard one. Okay, do 100 push-ups. No, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, do one enough. Okay, sit down. Give your daddy a big hug. Give your mommy a big hug. Give everyone a big hug. No. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. You know what? Okay, how did you feel when I gave you the instructions?
Okay, just do it.
Just do it. Submission in the Bible is exactly what Asher did. Reflexively, instruction comes just to. That's biblical submission. That's why you find many of the apostles and or prophets, whatever God told them, yeah, sometimes they may struggle, but obedience is doing exactly what God tells them to do. You know, it is so important for us to understand this because it's come to a stage where we are trained to fight authority. Not so much fighting it, but we will question everything that is given to us, especially from some areas that we feel that we can question. The word submit has the idea to subordinate itself, to be under the obedience, to be subject to, and to submit ourselves to. The word sub has the idea of under, like submarine. Like under the water. And it's important for us as believers to understand this principle. Submit, notice the second word, yourselves. It's a personal individual project. We can give every reason why we don't want to follow, but God says submit yourself. In other words, it's still a personal decision to submit yourselves, okay? To every ordinance of man, meaning under the law. Literally, every ordinance means every creation of man. For the Lord's sake. Okay? Now, I'll just give you a few points under this. Number one, as believers, we are to submit to authority. Submission to authority is a principle of Scripture. Let's turn to Romans 13, verse 1 and 2. It's all inside your notes, I'm sure. Let's read together this. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Ready? Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that receive shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, in the book of Romans, and the book of 1 Peter, we must understand in context, Peter is talking about following governmental authority. All right, following the laws of the land, okay, government authority. We have to be very clear on that. But in Romans 13, verse 1, Paul made a very important principle that as Christians, we need to remember. All authority in this world has been appointed by God. Now, does that make sense? All authority has been appointed by God. What are some of the positions of authority that we know that God has appointed in the Bible? Anyone? Government, okay, government, we have to obey the government. What else? Family as institution. So who is?
Father.
Father. God is very clear about that. The book of 1 Corinthians, the father is the head, Christ is the head, followed by the father, the mother, and the child. Okay, what else? The pastor as the authority, the spiritual authority in the local church. Okay, and so we are appointed. If next time you become the pastor, you are appointed and vested with spiritual authority. Okay? That's why this whole process of going through that recognition by the local church, of voting, vetoing by God, For me to baptize people, I need to have vested authority from ambassador. I just do it myself. Okay? So we have to understand every soul, or rather, every authority is appointed by God. We are to submit to authority simply because it's a biblical command. Okay? Let's turn to Acts chapter 23, verse 1 to 5. Oh, this is very interesting. This is in, I was just in FBI and it was just there. In Acts chapter 23, my students will know this, Paul illustrates to us what it means to submit to an authority. Okay? In Acts chapter 23, verse 1, I just read, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." Paul was asked to give evidence for himself. He was standing for the high priest. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him to the mouth. And I look, psh, how dare you speak? Okay? "And then Paul said unto this high priest, God shall smite thee, thou whited wolf, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law." So as Paul slapped this person, or rather, not Paul slapped, as someone slapped Paul, and Paul said, "You high," he didn't know that that was the high priest. And so he said, "You whited wolf, how dare you ask this person to slap me, which was against the law." Verse 4, "And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest?" Now you must understand the high priest was holding Paul because of something, some accusations against Paul. And this high priest asked, as Paul spoke, asked someone to slap Paul. And Paul said, "How dare you slap me?" And the people around said, "Paul, do you know that he is the high priest?" Notice Paul's reaction, which is the principle for every Christian. "Then said Paul, I know not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." What was Paul's heart? "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Because according to the law, I'm not going to speak against someone whom God has appointed. I'm not going to speak against him. Thou shalt not revile. Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." The principle that Paul teaches us is, now you must remember, the high priest is against Paul, I'm going to kill him. And yet Paul respected that position and apologized for his action. When God commands us to follow authority, we are to follow it because it was God's command. But Brother Johnny, what if I don't like that person in the authority? Or what if this person is like Kim Jong-un? Right? You should be Kim Jong-un, right? Yeah. What if he was the authority? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 23. Let's hear what Jesus has to say. Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 2 and 3. Jesus in teaching the Jews. Notice in verse 1, "Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples," so speaking to everyone, "and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." What does that mean? In other words, Moses' seat is a place of the lawgiver. Moses is a lawgiver. So the Pharisees and the scribes sit in Moses' seat. That means they represent the law. "And Jesus, as a result, said, All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do." In other words, because the Pharisees and the scribes are your spiritual leaders, whatever they command you to do is come at a certain time, don't do this, don't do that, do this, you're supposed to follow them. Okay? There's a qualification there. Number one, the Lord Jesus taught the Jewish disciples and our apostles that formed the foundation of the church that in obedience to authority and submission to it means when we know that it's an authority, we follow it without question. Now, the Pharisees are not your best people. They're supposed to be religious leaders. They're supposed to set the example. But Jesus told his disciples, if they ask you to do something, just do it. He'll give you tithes and all that according to the law. Give it according to the Moses law. Just do it because they are representatives. All right. So the Lord Jesus enforced that part first, which teach us that obedience to authority, submission to authority is a biblical principle. Okay? The qualification is, what if that person is a rotten man or he's a backslider or whatever? The second part then applies. It says, but do not eat after their lifestyle, their works, for they say and do not. Does that make sense? We're very clear, in submission to authority, God expects every Christian to be in submission to authority. And you have to identify who the authority is in your life and obey that. For children, the authority in the family is your parents. And when they ask you to clean up the house, clean up the house. Of course, don't always ask your children to. If they've done a good job, you know, praise them, okay? In the school, I mean, these are just delegated authority, the principal and all that. They have the authority given by MOE to regulate the school, make sure everything works well. You're supposed to follow that, okay? In the country, it's our government. We think, I don't know about you, I'm very thankful for our government. We do have a good government. Not perfect, but it's a good government that tries very much to allow us freedom and all that. Of course, as a government, they have to do what's best in their eyes to take care of us. Obey their laws. Okay? In the church, it's the pastor, the youth leader, or whoever that is involved in ministry. There is a submission to authority. And this is an important principle because submission to authority reflects a humble spirit. Even Jesus himself submitted to authority. It reflects a humble spirit. Now, during Peter's time, this was an important one because the Jews were not very happy with the Romans. And as a result, they feel that why should we listen to this? After I will actually highlight why they had a problem with submitting, all right? After I explain a little bit why. I just want to highlight these key principles that I believe is very much forgotten many times in Christian churches. I don't know about you, but I know that there's one situation I know of a church. There's a deacon-run church. Deacon-run church means the deacons control the pastor. And the pastor, anytime, because whatever the pastor say cannot be done because the deacons control. Okay, it's in Singapore actually, but many of you don't know the church. But it's so sad that every time he comes in, the deacons, because the deacons was the oldest, he's the oldest in the church. And he controls whoever pastor comes in. And the church had gone through at least 4 splits or 5 splits because it was deacon-controlled church. We need to be careful to understand where God puts the authority and follow that. Okay? So one cannot say, so let's turn to 1 Peter 5, 5 first. Submission to authority reflects a humble spirit. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, Peter later on teach, we will expound much later, but I'll just give the verse. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be what? Clothed with what? Be clothed with what? Humility. Submission reflects humility. One cannot do without the other. Some people, I'll submit to you, but don't expect me to. No. That's not submission. That's not proper biblical submission. Okay, I just want to show you from that. One cannot say he's humble when he will not submit. It is pride. Alright? Peter gives 3 reasons for the submission. Let's turn back to 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 13, he says what? Submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Number one, when we submit to the laws of man, we're submitting for God's sake. The idea of for God's sake has the idea of for the glory of God. For God's glory. Last time we were rebellious and fighting, but now that Jesus Christ has taken over our lives, when we submit, we reflect the submission of Christ. Does that make sense? It was for God's glory. All right, it's a humble and submissive character always brings glory to God. A rebellious and unsubmissive character always brings division. Right, number one, for the Lord's sake, number one. Number two, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, submission to the laws of the land is the will of God to silence the critics of the Christians. Now, this is an important truth that Peter highlights to the Roman, the Jewish Christians of the time. Okay? Let me just go through 13, 14, 15. He says, submit yourself to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether it be to kings as supreme. Peter was referring to the emperor. He was referring to the emperor of those days. Okay? After I explain a bit why. And then, unto governors, those people, we have the king, the Roman emperor as a whole, and unto the governors, his subjects, that is put to take care of certain areas. Okay? What is the purpose of the governors? As unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. That spells the proper reason why they are so-called, in our Singapore situation, the MPs. Okay, the MPs are the government. We're supposed to listen. All right, those are the delegated authority. Now, in verse 15, for it so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Let me just explain that. Foolish men refers to people who will not seek the Lord. Okay? They are ignorant about God. So they will criticize the Christians and say, okay, in this context, they will say that they are unpatriotic because they do not worship the emperor. Now, during Peter's time, the Roman Empire initially allowed the freedom of worship to the Jews. But when the Jewish Christians started, or the Christians started to expand throughout the Roman Empire, they had to put a stop to it. And so they impose, you can worship your own gods, but make sure you worship the emperor. When it's time to worship the emperor, make sure you give incense to the emperor as a mark of your allegiance to him. The Christians can't do it. Because thou shalt have no other gods but me. And so the surrounding people will say, you are unpatriotic because you do not worship the emperor. And so they begin to criticize and blame the Christians for everything. Okay, the Christians were a laughing stock at that particular time. So they would criticize the Christians that they're unpatriotic because they will not worship the emperor. Peter then teaches the Christians to obey the laws of the land so that the Roman critics will realize they are wrong about the Christians. That they will silence the ignorance of foolish people who criticize the Christians. Does that make sense? Because the Christians say, well, if they want me to worship God, then we cannot do that. So then it became a cascade of behavior that says, because as long as the Roman emperor tells me to do, I don't do it. Peter says no. The reason why you don't worship the Roman emperor, because there is sin. But if the Roman emperor says, pay your taxes, be good citizens, obey that. Because that's not wrong. Peter is trying to teach younger Christians to be very clear. There are times that we have to make our stand as Christians, but there are times when the law says something, then we just follow it. As long as it doesn't contradict what God wants to do with us and His Word. Does that make sense? So this is what Peter was trying to teach the Roman Christians to do. Because it says, by their well-doing, notice in this situation, obedience to authority, by their well-doing is to silence the ignorance of foolish men. These people don't know the better. Let me apply that. By application, our worship of God or service to God is oftentimes criticized. When our testimony becomes flawed, or we say things we shouldn't be saying, or we do things we shouldn't be doing, go places we shouldn't be going, and when our testimony becomes flawed because of our refusal to submit to authority, for those people who don't seek God, it actually confirms for them that they are right about Christians. Example, for in some situations, I think the big thing that's happening now, the case against the church that have swindled money, not swindled, have taken lots of money and they're being taken to court for it. You know, and in that kind of situation, people are saying, oh, Christians are like that. No, under the rest of society, it's supposed to be open and honest. They didn't do that, and so people start criticizing Christians. Christendom, by the way, just in general, as long as you're a Christian, that's it, you're under the umbrella. What do we do as a church? We make sure everything that we do is very open. Just follow what the laws of the land say. Make sure that we have proper procedures and rules and we hold on this tightly. Why? So that with our well-doing, we are put to silence the critics. And when people come and say, hey, how come in this church? Well, everything, in this church, the pastor don't sign any of the checks. So that there'll be no question about anything. In the past, we had to because there was only a few of us, but now we have more, pastors don't do that. Why? So we put to silence and people say, no, all churches are like that. They want money. No, we're very clear in our church. You give because God gives you. We don't force anyone to give. We put to silence the foolishness of our ignorant men. Okay? Can I say this, Christians? Our submission to authority reflects our life with Christ. it reflects our closeness with the Lord. If the Lord Jesus was a submissive person, we need to be too. He made a stand where he have to, let's be very clear. Okay? But when it's right, he will submit. In Galatians, I won't go there. Right? So, submit to the laws of the land is the will of God. So for Christians, if the government tells us to do certain things, we just have to follow. Alright? For the Lord's sake, so that people who want to criticize us say, no, these are law-abiding citizens. Every Christian needs to be a law-abiding citizen unless the law contradicts a higher law of God. If one day the government tells us, which I don't think he will, but the government says, sorry, Ambassador Baptist Church, no longer can you worship. You're supposed to only go to the state church. They only preach what the church, like just like in China. You know, that's when we have to make a decision. And I believe the decision is clear. We follow God, not the laws of men. But can I say this? The laws of men... Okay, can I say this? When we break the laws of men, it's not sin, by the way. We have to be very clear. When we break... Sin is when we contravene the law of God. When man gives us a law that overrides God's law, we have every right with God's authority to reject that. And that's not sin. But if we deliberately sin, and there's another part of scripture that says for conscience sake, we need to obey. In the book of Romans, I believe, for me, last time when I drive, I would, in our car park, you know how, I don't know, in the multi-story car park, for our car park, there's this very, very tedious thing. In the past, our car park goes like this. There are three layers, and of course, the first two layers are cars coming this way. Okay, I hope you can visualize with me. And so, in order to park here, if you do the right thing, you'll go one big round. You come here. So many Singaporeans just park. I know Singapore is very convenient. Just park here long. But it's going against traffic. Okay? Or some people, if all this is parked already, they'll go to a second one. It's also coming this way, but many people will just drive against traffic, against that. Okay? In the past, I used to do that until a few years back, 2 years back. I realized, actually, for conscience sake, let's just go around. And sometimes I feel like a fool. Because the convenient way is to do this, but you know what? For conscience sake, we go the big round and come here. I always pray, God, you know, at night, especially when you come out of visitation or whatever, you come back and say, Lord, I pray that if there's one car park space very nearby, you always pray, Lord, I always pray, Lord, I pray that you keep the car park. I'm obeying the law, okay? So, thank God. But not all the time, but you know. But does that make sense? It's easy. You're not breaking the law, but for conscience sake, God may convict you to do that. And I'm learning that to just follow it because it's the right thing to do. Like I said, it's not sin if you don't do it. But it's to grow my own Christian life. But for yourself, it might be other things. It might be other things. It's important in this submission principle. We submit to the laws of the land because it's the will of God to silence the critics. If someone in your life is criticizing us as a Christian for not doing certain things, you know what? If it's right, just do it. That's what Peter says. All right? The reason number three, when we submit to authority, it's interesting. Reason number three is taken from verse 16. When we submit to authorities, we reflect and manifest that we are the servants of God. Verse 16 says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. What does that mean? Peter is saying that you are free. You are actually free, but you are conquered by these Romans. But since you are free, don't use it to, I'm free. There are some people who say, who are you to judge me? As a Christian, I can do what I want. God says, don't use that as an attitude. Because if you offend someone or you offend the laws of the land and you want to stand for your right, so-called, then God says, don't do that. As free, don't use it as a cloak of liberty for maliciousness, but as the servants of God. There's one man who refused to pay taxes. Some of you may know Ken Hovind in America. Because the scripture says, no, I'm not going to pay taxes. So what did he do? He went to prison. Of course, he shared the gospel in prison. But you know, the attitude in itself, honestly, in the judgment of by scripture, God says, pay taxes. Jesus himself paid taxes. And so, I'm not judging him per se, but using it as an illustration that sometimes as Christians we think that, I mean, God is going to deal with him in whatever way. He's still doing a good job trying to preach creation, science, and all that. But in that, it's splashed over on internet and all that. But you know, we have to realize paying taxes, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And as a result, some people are not going to listen to him. A lot of people still listen to him, but some people are not going to listen simply because he's not paying his taxes. Alright? So I'm just using that. Sure, we are free. Remember Jesus also said, when he says, should we pay taxes? But Jesus says, but we are free. Why should we pay to the Roman government? Lest we offend them, let's just go ahead and pay. Christians, we are all free. But there are certain things we do so that we don't offend people that would direct the person to Christ. I think all of us understand that. You know what? It requires us to surrender our rights to God and let God do it. And to recognize that when we surrender our rights, we are not surrendering our rights. We are just showing that we are the servants of God. We are listening to Him. That's what Peter is trying to say. All right? Yeah, you may not have to pay the taxes, but go ahead and do it. Because, yes, it's your land that they conquered. You don't have to pay, but pay because they are in charge. Submit to that authority. All right? All right? When we submit to authority, we reflect that we are the servants of God, that although we are free, we are set free from the law, we are set free inwardly, and we are truly free. But as Christians, we will not use the freedom as a cover for our rebellion. Some people say, I have the right to speak. Yes, you have every right to speak, but sometimes it's best not to speak. Sometimes it's best to just, I'll submit to the authority. We need God's wisdom in that. Okay? Peter then tells us the scope of that submission. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of men. Everything that they say. The word ordinance has the idea of a creation. In other words, if the government says today that, okay, every Singaporean will wear red t-shirt. If you don't, it is a crime. The police will have a lot of work to do. What do we do? Of course, it will be a heyday for the department store will sell red t-shirt. Because if you don't follow it, then what will Christians do? What will you do? You wear it. Will it affect? It may affect your style. It may affect. But does it affect? Of course, I know our government will never do that. It's not going to be okay. Then probably there's a revolt, you know. Yeah. But let's say if government really says for some real reason that they believe it's important, everyone must wear red. So what should we do? What will we do? Just wear. Okay. How many of you will revolt? Say, no, that's not my style. Well, put Siwan Hong Sa, I don't like to wear red. I'm not going to wear red. I'm going to migrate. Or something like that. Let me ask you, does wearing red affect your life? It may affect your wardrobe. It will affect your style. But does it change your spiritual life? You know what? This is an extreme example. I know some of you are smiling. It will probably not happen. No one can enforce this kind of thing to a T. But you know, if the government really asks us to wear red for some reason that they believe is important, then I believe we should. According to this rule, submit to every... But Brother Johnny, that's the most sickening, most disgusting, most rule that can never be made by man. Yeah, but God says submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That's actually literal. That's what Peter was saying. If there's anything that doesn't contradict God's law, go ahead and submit to it. And Peter gave clear reasons for that. Alright? You can argue with me, but that's what the Bible says. Peter gives the scope of our submission. It means all the ordinance of men. And Peter tells us who we're to submit to. We're to submit to the kings as supreme, our president, and so on. Or unto governors as unto them they are sent by him for the punishment of evil doers. Okay? Any question on the submission of authority? This is very important in the church. And I believe one of the biggest reasons why submission is important, it ensures the smooth running of the country. If there's submission in the family, listen, it ensures the smooth running of the family. It ensures the smooth running of the family. Why is it sometimes it's hard to get things going in the family? Because there's rebellion. Now, why do you think God put submission in the church? obedient that they rule over you, to ensure the smooth running of the local church for the glory of God, for the salvation of souls, for the building up of saints. If everyone will listen, we're moving in one direction. This is a biblical teaching. There will be other reasons why, but you know what? We need to settle in our hearts, Lord, submission is your will. It reflects my life before you, my humility. God, I'm just going to do that. That's one thing. God's rule, principle, as a Christian, is that we are to submit to authority. Let's have Jesus' example. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I just want to highlight here. Matthew chapter 3. And we talked about it in Sunday school, but for the benefit of those people who may not be here, but I just want to highlight. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized of him. Jesus is the younger one of the two cousins. John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. But John was appointed by God, authorized by God to baptize. It must be very clear. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 1, don't have to turn there, there was a man sent by God to baptize, whose name was John. All right. So John the Baptist was authorized to baptize at that time. When Jesus came, guess what? Jesus, the Son of God, came to John the Baptist. Notice John the Baptist, his attitude. But John stopped him. John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you. John the Baptist knew who he was before the Son of God. He said, I can't baptize you. I need you to baptize me. You are the Son of God. I'm just nobody, you know. John the Baptist was telling Jesus, but notice Jesus, and I want us to listen to the words of our Savior and take it to heart. This is a very teaching of Scripture. Jesus said, suffer it to be so now. What Jesus is saying, I paraphrase in his heart probably what the Lord is saying. John the Baptist, I appreciate you recognizing your position before me. I'm still the King of Kings. But our Heavenly Father has dictated that you are to baptize me. So let it be so now. Does that make sense? That it was God the Father's will for Jesus to be baptized by John the Baptist. And Jesus said, you are right. I need to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. But in this situation, God has dictated, John, you are to baptize me. And so I'm coming to you, John. Allow it to be so now. And guess what? And Jesus says, for thus it becometh us to fulfill righteousness. When you submit to authority, based on what Jesus said, you are fulfilling the righteousness of God. Children, when you listen to your mom and your dad, you are doing the right thing. Does that make sense? You are doing the right thing before God. You may be, well, really, I must write extra one line. Yes. It may be hard. But you know what? That's what God wants us to do. Jesus said, allow it to be so now, because that is the right thing to do. Submission to authority is always the right thing to do. That's what Jesus is teaching us. And that's what John the Baptist did. He could have been stubborn-hated and stubborn like Peter and said, no way, I'm not going to allow you to be crucified. You know how that? Jesus said, get thee behind me. No, not John the Baptist. Notice verse 15. Then Jesus allowed him to. Wrong. Then John the Baptist allowed him and went ahead to baptize Jesus. But when you notice at the end, in verse 17, God the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom you are pleased. Can I say this? For every believer in Christ who willingly submits to authority, God the Father will say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. It's all from Scripture. It's all from the Bible. The only reason why sometimes we don't want to follow, that's why submission to authority reflects a humble spirit. When we don't submit, it reflects that I want my say. I want to encourage us as Christians to obey God in submitting to authority. Yes, it may spoil your style. Yes. But you know what? And I encourage you to obey that simply because you are just obeying your Heavenly Father who knows what's best. Okay? And every instruction that's given by God, I've said before, when God gives a commandment in the Bible or taught a principle, it's from the Scriptures, it is backed up by His eternal infinite wisdom and love. That when we obey that, for example, obey your parents in the Lord, children, Do you know why God said that? When God gave the instruction, it is backed up by His whole character of holiness, love, and goodness for man. God knows that if a child will learn to obey the parents at home, the family will be a heaven on earth. Amen. But it also goes for us parents to obey God. And then God's rulership can be in the family and be truly a heaven on earth. All right? So the first thing is learn to submit. And you know what? Let's turn to 1 Peter 5:5. I just round this up, then I'll go on to the second part, which is equally important. In 1 Peter 5:5, Peter said this. Now, in 1 Peter 5:5, he talks about pastors. Okay, he talks about pastors. But in verse 5, Peter went on to say, likewise, you younger, those who are younger, submit yourselves unto those who are older. Submit yourselves to those who are older. I just want to say this. Children, when an older person speaks to you, the right thing to do is to look at the person with respect and to acknowledge that the person is talking to you. We've come to a stage that young people will look at the older people and all that. You know, sometimes we'll say, hi, and just walk past. That is rude. That is not a submissive spirit. That is a rebellious spirit. I'm thankful that majority of us don't do that, but you know, I've seen in children whereby when you say good morning to them, they don't even respond to you. That is rude. That is rude. And parents, if you allow that, you're spoiling them. It's a teaching process that they need to grow. Men, by natural process, they don't want to honor those above them. Why? Because of pride. I'm saying that because I'm seeing that in our Sunday school children. And it's reflective of training. The Bible says, ye younger, submit yourselves to the older. It's a whole attitude and spirit of allowing the older ones, giving the honor to whom honor is due. And parents, if your children don't honor you, you have a rebellious kid in your home. And you need God's grace, and you need God's strength, and you need God's everything to say, Lord, what can I do to help my child understand the principle of submission? Because the Bible says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. But you know what? Yea, all of you be subject to one another. Now, Peter points to the whole church. Being subject, my job is to submit to someone else. Let's say if I mentioned before the youth camp or during the VBS and some people say, Pastor, can you please drive the person to the meeting point? I'll just go ahead and do that because I'm contributing to the ministry of the Lord. I may be the pastor, but I can drive. I'll just drive the children there. And similarly, I'm sure those who are older who needs to do something, and if a teenager say, Uncle, brother so-and-so, can you do this? I'm sure you'll do that. Why? You submit to one another so God's work can move forward. And that's an important principle. I know it may be cutting for what I just said. For families, when your children don't respect you, it's a very serious problem. It's a spiritual problem. If your children don't respect you, you need to cry before God, for God to do something in the child's life. Because I can tell you, if they don't control themselves now, when they grow up, they're not going to listen to you. And you need to chasten your child betimes when it's early. This submission reflects humility before God. And it's no longer a fun thing anymore. Because a lot of children are growing up with absent parents. And because either they live their own life or they follow the helper who can't really enforce anything, they grow up to say, I am in charge of my life. No one's going to tell me what to do. And parents, if you are there but do nothing, you are contributing to that. You need to be on God's side. Now, of course, as parents, our job is to show a testimony of God's laws, holiness, but also God's grace, so that our children will know where they've gone wrong and know how to get right. so they can always move back to God. All right, I need to say that because lest you misunderstand. There are many families with just children who will not listen to God. So I hope this will help us to understand the submission principle is a reflect. When we are willing to submit to the gospel, if we are saying we are Christians, and we are willing to submit to the gospel, it should change our life of submission. It should. You look at through all the scriptures, everyone who submitted to Jesus in genuine salvation changed their life and submitted to God. You know, a key ingredient of your salvation is your submission and your humility. And I want to touch on that because it's so important. I don't think any mom or dad wants our children to grow up rebellious. You know what, mom and dad, we need to pray on our knees for our children. Because you cannot change the heart, only God can. But you can do everything to train them in simple, just like what I did for Asher just now. Take the teaspoon. To train them to realize obedience is an important principle and submission. Okay? Alright, let's move on. The next truth is we are to honor all men. In verse 17, the Bible says honor all men. Honor all men. When I studied that, I said, honor all men means what? Honor all men simply means, the word honor means to fix a valuation upon all men. You know, when you go to HDB, right, you have to do an evaluation, right? Like this HDB flat, I think Mrs. So and all that. And some of the people who want to sell their house or whatever, they find a value for their house and then they try to pack it and all that. Basically, to honor all men is to fix a value on the person. God gives us the first principle regarding this. We are to honor all men. We are to fix a value on Brother Henry, on Asher, and on Sister Summer, and on Brother Gideon, and on Sister... You know, all of us have value. You know what is the value of everyone here? You know what's the value of everyone here? Sorry? The Lord's blood. Okay, as Christians, we are the Lord's blood. Let me just give you some. You know, God gives us a first principle. We are to honor all men because all men are to value. Some people may say, but Brother Johnny, this person is cerebral palsy. This person cannot have any contributions to society. Well, let's get rid of it. Kind of like the Third Reich during the Nazi regime. Just get rid of all the Down syndrome people. Get rid of all the people who cannot do anything, right? You know what's the value of everyone here? We are all made in the image of God. And when God says honor all men, he meant honor all men. Put the highest esteem on all men because every one of us are made in the image of God. And therefore, whether he's walking with one leg paralyzed and all that, or whether he's born blind, he's still to be honored. My brother, who is my real brother, sent me an SMS of a picture of two child. Apparently, there's some organ trafficking, and these children would be just snatched off the streets, brought to some place, and then the organs taken out to sell. And the children either thrown on the streets and all that. It's really sad. No, they are only valued for their economic value. You know, we need to be careful. There are some churches who only ask the bankers and the general managers to be deacons. You know why? Because that's the value of their position in life. That's not the value. We are all valuable to God because we are made in His image. Full stop. That's what Peter said. Honor all men. Honor all men. All right? Let me ask you, does a baby in the womb have honor? Yes, because it's made in the image of God. Does a severely disabled child have honor? Yes. In some societies, they're just thrown out. In the Roman Empire, during that, in the first century, if the dad don't like the child, just toss it out and let it die. That was the way they treat human life. Does an uneducated man or lady have honor before God? Yes. Does a bedridden, demented lady have honor? Yes. Who gives the honor to these people? God. Because God said, I made them. And if you kill them, Genesis 9:6, I will require your blood because you are smiting the image of God. Every aborted child, the man or person who made the decision to abort, will have to face God one day and give a reason why. God is not going to accept any reason because when you kill a child, you smite at the image of God. And that's why Peter now tells us, have the principle to honor all men. So as Christians, you realize when we need to honor all men, just simply because you are made in the image of God. You know why Jesus had to say, love your neighbors? Because of our human pride and selfishness. That sometimes we see people with a prejudiced mind. But if you put the two together, number one, we all made in the image of God. And the principle that Peter says, honor all men. And we use what Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies even. God is teaching us to live His way. Does that make sense? Honor all men. The word honor goes a bit further. Okay, this goes a bit further. That's what we call the basic pay. You go to work, right? You have a basic pay, right? The basic pay is all about being the image of God. But in society, God does place. The word honor goes further. It means to give and fix a value upon honor. Because there are different categories of people that we need to give honor to. Number one, love the brotherhood. Who's the brotherhood? Christians. Agape, the brotherhood. All Christians, you know, we need to treat, we want to honor all men as a first level, but all Christians need to be treated. Not only are we made in the image of God, but we are transformed by the blood of Christ. Amen? And therefore, we have the additional honor of being a brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's no reason why we cannot get along, except for our own prejudice. The Jewish Christians had problems with the Roman authority. Why? Because I hate this. Roman always against us one. It's prejudice. Love the brotherhood. Okay? Why? What extra honor do we have? Each brother and sister in Christ have the Holy Spirit in that person. Do you believe that? Each brother and sister is specially loved and bought by Christ. Each brother and sister in Christ is related to each other by the blood of Christ. We're family. Every Christian, we're family. We have to understand that. You know, sometimes we live apart from one another. We need to grow in discipleship, in love for one another. We're family. We're in this together. By the way, we're going to be in heaven forever, so we might as well get used to each other now. And there was some pastor who was saying, you know what, these guys cannot get along. You know what God's going to do? And when you go to heaven, God's going to put your mansion directly next to the person who can't get along on earth. In heaven, we have perfect love. Amen. But you know, now God wants us to grow into that. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Peter gives this, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. It's a spiritual change in your heart. When you obey the truth of the Word of God through the Spirit, that's basically gospel. That's the salvation you have. Seeing you have purified your soul have no more. But what is it? It's basically your soul has no more prejudice. It's purified. In the past, you used to hate. I was talking to Brother Henry about the law and how last time we used to hate. But when the Spirit of Christ comes in us, we are filled with His love. That love is natural. And so Peter says, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ purifies us, removes all prejudices, removes all the sin in our life, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Can I say this? It's a direct correlation. The gospel truth would lead us to love our brethren. It's a direct correlation. Because we're all born into the family of God. So don't care what country you're from. We can still come together. We can have a meal. We can enjoy each other's fellowship. Yeah, I may not. I was watching a documentary yesterday and about this some tribal people. And the children were just enjoying the food. Then I saw what the fruit was. Grubs. You know what are grubs? Grubs, you know, they're like worms with segments. And this commentator, they were just enjoying the barbecued, juicy grubs. So no way. I didn't eat grubs before when I was in the army, but I know. They taste like peanuts, by the way, if you tried before. Really nice. But it's just that when you... That part is... You know, how many of you like balut? But it's not sin to eat balut. I ate balut before, and it's quite nice, the sauce and all that. But some of us may say, no, I'm not going to eat that, but you know what, we're still family in the family of Christ. All right, we may have our queers, and when we go over to Taiwan, you have smelly tofu, right? How many of you like smelly tofu? But you know what? We may not take smelly tofu, but we're still one in Jesus Christ, amen? We're still one, all right? We're family. No, we need to learn to do that. We need to learn to live together. We need to learn to grow in Christ. 1 John 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. Because that's Peter's command, love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loves us is born of God and knows God. If you know God, you'll love each other. That's what Jesus said. He that loveth not, don't know God. Because God is love. And what John is trying to teach the Christian during that time, if you have God in your heart, that's it. You have love in your heart. Because God is love. Alright? And to love will be natural. In Hebrews 13 verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Paul never said, let's start loving one another. No, he said, let it continue. It's already in you, let it continue. Now, Ambassador, we need to grow in love. I believe very much we do love one another, but sometimes the expression of it, God needs to help us to work on that. Okay? Number one, honor all men. Number one, love the brotherhood, fear God. Fear God is the next one. Fear God, what does fear God mean? The fear here, this is interesting. It also has the idea of submission and honoring. See, God is someone that is high and mighty. He is almighty. The fearing of God here refers to the respect and reverence for God, listen, that is concerned about whether or not we offend Him. It is not so much the fear of punishment or the fear of suffering the punishment when we do wrong, but it's the fear of being disapproved, of making God angry. Do you know what I mean? It's not so much, I'm fearful of God for the punishment. I'm actually fearful of God that I break my relationship with Him, or my fellowship with Him. That I will not do wrong if I know that by drinking this one will offend Brother Edward there. Okay, let's say by drinking this water, it will offend him because he's so thirsty. If I drink this, I will offend him. My relationship with him is more important than this drink. So I won't drink it. Before God, when we fear God means, if I do this, I'm going to offend God. My friendship and relationship and fellowship with God is more important. I'm not going to do that. Does that make sense? When we value our friendship and relationship with God more important than the things of this world, 50% of all that we're doing, we'll cut out. We will not ask, why can't I do that? We will actually say, because I love God, even if it has a question mark whether you offend God, I say I won't do it. I would rather give God the benefit of the doubt because I love Him too much. Okay? That's what it means to fear God. Have you ever had someone whom you really respected and loved? Okay, this one is something which I'll just share. I was in the soccer team when I was quite fat. When I was young, I still am fat when I'm old. And I was in the soccer team, there was this teacher, his name is Mr. Fu. Oh, Mr. Fu was a left-hander, and he was a soccer master, so I always would give a suggestion how you can attack, you know, in the soccer and all that. I knew he kind of liked me. All right? And so I'm the first choice goalkeeper. That was when I was primary five, primary five, okay? So, and he was nice, and he always like put me up and that kind of thing, until one day I did something stupid. There was an assembly. I don't know whether they do it now. Last time in primary school, you got duty personnel sweep the floor before you come in. Do you still do that now? Before school, you have to go to class and sweep the floor, erase everything. Write today's date is 23rd or whatever, and make sure the whole class is clean before the school. Do you still do that now? You know, huh? Or recess. When the last time we had to come early in the morning to swim, you know? Don't play a fool. Okay. But anyway, I was up there, and the whole school was, they called the other duty personnel. I was eating a sweet. I can't remember whether I ate a sweet or not. And I did a stupid thing of throwing the sweet off the, and it dropped right in front, and the vice principal was watching. And so were the whole school. And I was thinking, uh-oh. And it so happened, it was a Friday, I believe, and the first session was Mr. Fu. he wasn't very happy with me after that. And he didn't really put a lot of attention on me after that. And he said, "Johnny, why are you so stupid?" I offended him. Someone who cared about my reputation, someone who cared about... And we had a good relationship. I mean, it's primary five, I mean, what kind of relationship can you have, you know? But I learned, I still remember that. I learned that I offended someone who cared for me. Someone who wanted me to do well. Is it possible that some of us as Christians will throw litter when God is watching and we'll offend him? A fear of God in our hearts will say, "God, because I know by throwing this down I'll offend you, God, I'd rather keep it in my pocket and not throw and offend you, Lord." The next time you want to sin against God, Peter taught the Christian, fear God. That if God, if you fear God versus this thing that you need to do, would you say, "Lord, if I know I do this, it will offend you. My relationship with you is more important. I don't want this, Lord. I want my friendship with you." That's fearing God. That's respecting him and honoring him as first in your life. Even Jesus, who was hungry, remember in the temptations, Matthew chapter 4? And when the devil said, "Why don't, if you, since you're the Son of God, use your power to turn these stones into bread," he said, "No. Well, put God's word first. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." I'm going to honor God, I'm going to fear him, I'm going to listen to him first. In Leviticus 25, verse 17, let me just read. "Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, for I am the Lord your God." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. The third point in, or rather, under honoring all men, we need to love the brotherhood, fear God, lastly, honor the king. Well, honor the king means to esteem the king. Here, specifically refers to the Roman emperor. The Bible never said to worship him, but it's to honor him. How do we honor the king? By paying taxes, by following the rules that were given. That's what Peter was trying to tell the Jewish Christians to do. For us, an application today, we don't worship our government. We believe God set our government over us. We obey the laws as much as we can, as long as it doesn't contradict the laws of God. We pay our taxes on time. We right now, HDB, are you affected? HDB, parking increase. Do you all know? Yeah, I don't know. Okay, I have to give a reason why I'm driving a van that's not belong to me. And if I don't give a reason by a certain date, they'll give me tier 1 payment. Give me a tier 2 payment, which is more expensive. So I actually email already to ask, explain to them. And we just pay the extra $10. It's just part and parcel, you know, of the rules. That's how we esteem the king. But I want us, as we close, I just want to highlight one thing. It's interesting, as I study, I realize fear God and honor the king comes together. Actually, in the Old Testament, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Fearing God and honoring the king comes together. Fearing God, therefore, and submitting to authority comes together in the Old Testament. And that's why I believe Peter brought it up, because the Jews would understand this. It was in the Old Testament scriptures. Proverbs 24, verse 21, 22. Okay, let's read it together. Proverbs 24, verse 21. Let's just read 21. Okay, ready? 1, 2, go. "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." See, King Solomon, he's a king. He says, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king." Why? And if you read many of the commentators, they believe that the spiritual implication is this: if you fear God, you fear the king. If you fear God, you submit to authority. If you genuinely fear God, you submit to the authority that's in your life. Fear God and the king. It's together. Because the king is a representation of God's authority on earth. Of course, some authorities, like governmental authorities, may not fully reflect, but you know what? God appointed them, and God can remove this government if he wants to. Okay, some of us who have political affiliations, please remember, God can remove. I don't know if you're for the liberals or the Democrats. I don't know if the Republicans are not liberals. That doesn't matter. I just don't know. But you know, in Singapore, there are many political parties. In China, whose party you're on doesn't matter. God is the one who appoints. But you know what God says? If you fear me, you fear the authority of the land. The idea of fear means to respect and to obey that. As we close, my God, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. That simply means that this one, I used to think that it's a person who is very double-minded and given to change. Actually, in the context, it means this. Fear God, fear the King, and don't mess with people who are trying to change the government. Meddle not with them that are given to change. Who wants to stir up strife. Don't get involved with these guys. Put God first. The King may not be the best, but it's still God's appointed authority. Fear God, follow Him, and let God deal with the authorities. And by the way, God can. I've seen God removing pastors. And today they're still in sin. And they refuse to acknowledge that. And God has removed their ministry. I say, God, fear God. And don't stir up against the authority. That is the express commandment of God. That's what Solomon's wisdom given to the Jewish people. Fear God, fear the King, and don't mess around with people who try to stir up against the King. Because in verse 22, for their calamity shall rise suddenly. If you stir it up against the King, well, don't be surprised the King comes against you with his soldiers to deal with you. Okay? This is basically, for your calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? All right, if we want to stir up to fight against the King and those in authority, the King have every right to enforce his authority. Does it make sense? And by the way, whether in church or in family, God has given us parents the authority to discipline. Are you listening? This is important. Parents, God has given you, listen, delegated authority. It's not given to you, it's yours. God gives the delegated authority. You have children that I want you to train. I'm giving you the authority. They have to respect you. But you use the authority as I teach you how to use. Does that make sense? And as fathers, we are to train our children according to how God teaches us. All right? In the Word of God, with grace, be firm where you have to. Train them. And this is delegated. In the church, the same thing. My authority is vested solely here. If I step outside of that, I have no authority. Okay? Similarly, as a government, many governors of the world is never perfect. Even the one in the Philippines who's doing a lot of good work, you know, he has his flaws. But if that's God's appointed authority, let's just follow him, you know, and let God deal with the rest. So coming back to this, as we close, there's two principles, submission and honoring all men. As Christians, God wants us to live according to God's will here. If God has spoken to your heart, just do business with Him. Right? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. And I pray that what I've said will not offend humanly in the flesh. And I'm sorry, Lord, if I've said things that I should have said. Lord, I believe that you have a word for some of our brethren here, or even myself, with regards to submission to authority and also honoring all men. Lord, forgive us. Many times we let our own prejudice affect our estimation of another brother or sister. And I pray you cleanse us from this unrighteousness. Help us to love the way Jesus loved. Yeah, we may not like everything or appreciate everything of the other person, but help us to just love that person because he's made in the image of God. And more so as a Christian, he's saved by the blood of Christ. And Father, I believe, Lord, that you have some things to say to our hearts. For eyes closed, heads bowed, as believers in Christ, has God spoken to your heart in some way? I don't know why, but I'd like to pray for you. Say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to my heart about submission, but honoring all men. Is there someone who said, Pastor, pray for me? Amen, I see that hand. Is there someone else? Amen, I see those hands. Amen. Just pull it up and pull it down and bring whatever heart. Amen. Whatever God has. Amen, I see that hand. Amen. If God is working your heart, base your decision on God's word and follow Him. Someone else. All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for every Christian. I'm thankful, Lord, whether young or old, they have a desire to make things right. And I pray, Father, in response to your word, Lord, give them the grace to submit to authority according to your will. Lord, you give us your authority because you love us, to teach us what we need to do that is right, sin has so changed our mind to follow the wrong way. And Lord, when you come with the right way, sometimes we fight it. Lord, we're sorry about that. We ask you to help us to see it as wrong and confess that sin to you. And then, Lord, repent of it, forsake it, and then come clean and to follow the right way once again. I pray for our brethren, Lord, many of them, the older ones in the faith that they have put up their hands. I pray that, Lord, you would strengthen their hearts to love your word more and to honor and submit to authority as you see fit. And Father, I pray that you keep our hearts humble before you. And the expression of that humility is always a submission, Lord, as we see Jesus was a submissive man on earth to show us, Lord, that he is meek and lowly in his heart. Lord, help us to be like you. And as we pray, as we sing our final hymn, take my life and let it be, I pray. Like this songwriter, Lord, we will truly have a submissive heart. The Lord will do all things for you and even to honor all men. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, teach us to live, to submit to the authorities of the land, Lord, to honor your name first, so that those people who do not seek after God may through our lives see Christ. Father, I pray for every Christian here. I know that deep down in their hearts, Lord, they do want to honor you, and I pray that this message will be used by your Holy Spirit to teach us to honor you. Lord, wherever the believers are, whether in their workplace, whether in their homes, for the younger children, whether in the for those in secondary schools, I pray, Lord, this message, as they learn to submit and honor all men, that the people around will begin to see why, and they will have an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with these people. So, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray that the Word of God, ever living, ever powerful, will constantly change our hearts towards humility, towards submission, towards honoring, because this is what your Word is teaching us today, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I pray for every brethren and sister in Christ and brother in Christ who have put up their hands. I pray that you would give them your power, your grace, your Spirit to make the change in their life that you have directed them to do so. In simple submission and humility. For us as adults, as fathers in the home and mothers, teach us to submit to your authority in our life. Every time we read the Bible, Lord, teach us to obey it in simple submission so that we can teach our children what it means to. Lord, it's not easy sometimes, and sometimes we just find it so tough because it goes against what we want. But Lord, like Christ was submissive, teach us to say, not my will, but thine be done, Lord. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Bless everyone who has given their hearts to you in obedience to at least listen to your word today. I pray things will change in their family's life, in the children's life, because of your word and what the Holy Spirit will do. Thank you once again. Give us a wonderful week, Lord, as we move into the second last month of the year. We're looking forward to your blessings in our own life, but also your patient working with us in the VBS and in the youth camp, and Lord, also in the evangelistic Christmas time, and also, Lord, the watch night. Lord, it's already the end of the year. I pray that you help us, Lord, to redeem the time because the days are evil. Thank you once again. Teach us, like the songwriter said, for you to take our lives and let it be consecrated to you. Thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.